I'm an assistant pastor at Calvary Baptist Church, Turner, Maine. I've been there for, 9 years, I think, just over 9 years. And I currently work with the youth and the bus ministry. We have 5 bus routes I oversee. I am a bus captain of one of them. And I also have a good size, what I'd say a good size youth ministry. And I love young people. I've worked with young people, of course, all these years. And I love people, period. So it's my pleasure to be here tonight and to preach to you and give you the Word of God. If you have any Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah chapter number 6. And Brother Sean, I will be using this here this evening. Don't want to scare anybody.
Testing. All right. That sounds good. Okay, thank you, Brother Sean. That's a good name there. Sean? Yeah? All right. Anyways, and let's stand as we read the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 6. Let's stand as we do so, and you may just follow along as we read this portion of the Word of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each had one had 6 wings, which twain he covered with his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the prongs from off his altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for these dear people, Lord, so faithful. Come back on a chilly Sunday night to hear your word preached. And now, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to push any of my thoughts away, but you be my thoughts. You be my lips this evening. Speak through me, Holy Spirit. Bless the hearts of these dear people, and I pray, God, you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is a very familiar chapter of the Bible. It's talking about the transforming vision of the great prophet Isaiah. And, of course, in the year King Uzziah died, this is when he saw the vision above it. If you picture it, the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, the Bible says. And then verse 3, one cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this is the call of Isaiah, the greatest, probably one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. One of several men that actually got to see the glory of God, as men in the Bible, that is, and how it changed his life. It was not until Isaiah saw this vision that his heart became affected. You know, in Lamentations, the verse left me, but in Lamentations, the Bible says, Mine eye affecteth my heart. And no doubt, here was Isaiah, that great prophet to be, if you will. He was called here. He saw the glory of God, no doubt how it transformed his life and how it affected his heart. And it was not until he saw this vision that his heart became affected. Our heart here tonight will not be affected in the right way until we see things as God sees it. It's not until we view things in God's perspective that it will change our life. You know, it's so easy when the chips are down, we talked briefly about it this morning, for us to get a whole different view of life. You know, when we get in a rut, when terrible things happen, when trials come, we start looking at things in a whole different way. We think, woe is me. I don't think we can do this. I don't think I can get through this. But it's not until, it's amazing, when we get our heart right with God, we stay in tune with God, we look at things as God sees it, it's amazing how it will change our life and affect our heart. You know, at this time, Isaiah, he got right with God. It was his vision. It was his purpose. It was a plan that God had. Isaiah found his purpose for what he was created for. And by the way, we're all here tonight. It doesn't matter who you are created for a purpose. And you know what that purpose is? Glorify God. That's the whole purpose of why we're created. It's not for us. This world is not our home. I talked about this morning. We're not to live life like we want to. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. We are not our own. And the truth of the matter is our life ought to glorify God. That is the purpose of why we're here. If you're on the job, glorify God. If you're in school, you glorify God. If you're on a basketball court, you glorify God. If you're a child in your home, you glorify God. Doesn't matter who you are, we are to glorify God. That's God's purpose. Now here's Isaiah. He was going to a troubled nation. This was what God wanted of Israel. He needs to preach and he needs to prophesy and tell them of coming tribulation that would be headed their way. He's going to go ahead and try to win people to Christ. And at this time, Israel's heart was not ready for this. They were hard-hearted, like it is today. You go to your local area, you knock on doors, it's amazing how hard-hearted people can be. It's amazing how many times I've left a nose at people's door. You know, I knock on doors, okay, and it happens. You know, hey, I'm Sean Weeks, Calvary Baptist Church. Boom. Oh, you know, there goes again, you know. Take my nose off, put it back on, and go. But the truth of the matter is, do I quit? No. You keep on going. You go to that person that wants to hear. And no doubt, you know, people back in this day, the same way, they're hard-hearted. They were going to look at Isaiah in verse 9. He said, go and tell. This is what God told him. Go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. They're not going to see things the way you see it. They're going to look at you funny, Isaiah. They will not understand why it is he's doing what he's doing. They would laugh at him, perhaps, and they're going to mock at him. Hey, we take a stand for Christ. We live a life that glorifies God. You know, the world's going to look at you crazy. The world's going to look at you funny. They're not going to understand why it is that you do what you do. They're not going to, you know, the world doesn't understand why we're here tonight. The world doesn't understand why would you want to take a Sunday evening, probably when the Pats are playing in New England of all places, okay, when the Pats are playing, and why would you want to go to church? Do you know why? Because I believe there's a group of people here tonight. We're here because we want to glorify God. And it's Sunday morning. Why do we want to get up on a cold Sunday morning like it was this morning? And why do we want to get up and go to church, maybe run above some people, and come to church at 9:45 for a Sunday school hour, and then stay for another hour? Why? Because we want to glorify God. And you know what? People will look at you and laugh. You do that? Yeah, I do that. And I say it proudly, by the way. Okay, I say, you do that? Yes, I do. I mentioned this morning, I don't think I finished the story, but when I left Chicago, I worked in downtown Chicago, and people could not understand. I worked in these high-rise, fancy luxury apartments. I was what they called a maintenance engineer. All that was a glorified janitor, okay? But in these high-rise apartments. And my boss, of course, he called me in. I mentioned the story a little bit today, but in it all, he was trying to keep me there. He was trying to offer me the world, literally. I mean, and it was, wow, really? You know, it was tempting. But he says, why? Why do you want to go ahead and preach? You know, and I said, you know, his name was Sergio. I said, Sergio, it's not about me. It's about him. And of course, he's an unsaved man. And I even sat down and tried to witness to him through the years that I was there. But he couldn't understand. You know what? My life's God's. He doesn't understand that. And if we're here tonight, you're saved. You're Christ. You know, and believe it or not, if you're not saved, you're still God's. God created you. But the world will look at you funny when you take a stand. The world will look at you with that misunderstood look. Don't worry, Jesus was misunderstood too. You know, you go out on the bus on weekends, people, you know, on a bus route. Why? You bus workers, you probably figured out, you know, people looked at you. Why do you do that? I have 12 or 13 teenagers, I think, average, just about on Saturday. Okay, they'll go out visit. Now, I'm talking about teenagers.
All right, they'll go out, they'll take time on a Saturday morning, okay, when they could go ahead and sleep in like most teenagers do. Amen, it's okay, you can amen to that, but I was a teenager once. But the truth of the matter is, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, and I'm praising the young people a minute, but the truth of the matter is they could sleep in, but they get up. I'm talking about 10 to 12, 13 teenagers on a consistent basis, and they'll go out visiting their bus route. Why? I believe it's because they want to glorify God on a Saturday morning. Sunday morning, same thing. And people will look at you funny. But here's Isaiah. He found his purpose in life. It was not until we get saved, baptized, and walking with God that we'll be complete in Christ. Here, Isaiah, he became complete. Hey, he knew what God wanted to do right here in this chapter. And God said, hey, here's the vision. Now, I want you to go for us. Now, you know, if you look at verse 6, also I heard the voice of the Lord, Isaiah talking here. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Us is the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, God says, who will go for us? You know, and here is God. God, of course, knows the need of Israel. And God is, no doubt, brokenhearted at the way Israel's living. They turn their back against God. Now, Isaiah, you're the man. He says here, and Isaiah responds here, I should say, then said I, here am I. Send me. Tonight, the title of my message is, who will go for us? Who will go for Christ? I'm talking about this vast area of people around here. Who will go ahead and take a stand on the job site and win people and try to witness to people? Who will go out on a Saturday morning, perhaps, and sign up for a bus route and maybe help out on a bus route and knock on some doors? Who will go out for Christ on a Saturday morning? Who would go ahead and ride a bus on a Sunday morning? Who will go ahead and teach a Sunday school class? Who will go ahead and take a stand? Who will go ahead and read the Word of God? Who will just take a stand for Christ? Who will go for us? Isaiah, you know, we will not be complete until we find the will of God in our life. We will not be complete. And Isaiah, he became complete at this time. And once we get saved and baptized and get walking with God, hey, it's at that time we'll be complete in Christ. But until then, we do remain incomplete. He said, well, past weeks I'm saved. Yes. But you know what the first step of salvation is, after salvation, I should say, is baptism. The first step of obedience after salvation is baptism. You say, well, past weeks, someone came by my door and they showed me from the Bible how to be saved. Yes, great, and praise the Lord. You are a child of God. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. You're going to go to heaven one day. But you know what? There's more to it than that. We need to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. That first step of obedience. And then after you get baptized, then you come to church, you become involved, if you will, you become a member of the church, I should say, you read your Bible, and you grow. And you know what? That's a complete Christian. Isaiah was complete because he found his purpose here. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, This is speaking of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You know what? That's what we all ought to do in a nutshell. Comfort those that are mourning. To reach the brokenhearted. To lift them up, proclaim liberty to the captives. And Isaiah was complete when he found his purpose, when he did this. Isaiah answered the call, who will go for us? And he responded, here am I, send me. Tonight, I think of America. I think of our world that we live in. I view the world in America very much in the same light as it is in this day right here. People misunderstood. People not quite understanding why maybe tragedies happen. In America that has turned her back totally upon God, I think of the history around this area right here. Thought of that today some. Plymouth Rock. Basically where America all started. I was just thinking about that a little bit today. And all the pilgrims wanted peace, wanted spiritual peace. And they came over here to America. But since then, America has gone ahead and turned her back upon God. God has been pushed out of our public schools, out of our public life, out of our homes, out of our parks, out of our shopping centers, out of our workplaces, and yes, even our churches. You know, I think at this time of year, you know, they don't want to say Merry Christmas anymore. By the way, it is Merry Christmas. And Christmas season is all about Christ. It's not just a holiday. It's all about Christ. They say season's greetings. Okay, if you want to say that, but I'm going to say Merry Christmas. It is Jesus' birth. He's the one that gave us life. Merry Christmas, by the way. They've been taken out of our shopping centers. You won't see it oftentimes. You hear it's holiday music, or it's holiday this, it's holiday that. No, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Jesus' birthday. Let's not be forgetful of that. But yes, America's turned her back against God and taken out of all these areas. And even our churches, there are churches tonight, I know of churches tonight, that used to do what we're doing right now. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they'd meet, the doors would be open, the preaching of the gospel would be proclaimed. But some of them churches are either closed, they're dead, or they've got one service. They were once an independent Bible-believing Baptist church. Tonight I view America, it's a sin-sick society. We got problems tonight. Everywhere you look, you got sexual promiscuity. You got sexual innuendos everywhere. You look at the TV ads and the billboards, everything all around us. They want to legalize drugs. They want to an addiction and alcohol, breaking up homes. And this is a problem we have in America. That's just scratching the surface. But tonight, may I say there's hope? It's Jesus Christ. The songwriter writes, "My hope is built on nothing less but than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Listen, if you're stepping on ground other than Christ tonight, you know what? You'll be sinking. Hey, Jesus Christ is a hope for you, your family, and America. None of the aforementioned problems that I talked about will be resolved until we as Christians spread the hope and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be mindful of lost souls dying, going to hell. Right now, at this very moment, there's someone dying and they're going to hell. Hey, listen, there's no in between. There's either heaven or there's hell. And if we're lost and we face Jesus without Christ, one day hell will be our eternal destiny. But thank God, Jesus, God, he loved the world so much. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. So I can have eternal life, so that we can have eternal life in heaven one day. Thank God for that. He's the only hope tonight. If you're trusting in a sacrament, if you're trusting in a church, if you're trusting in a good work, hey, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. And all the aforementioned problems that's going on in America tonight, the sex and the drugs and all that tonight, will not be taken care of until we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the only hope tonight. The president can't resolve it. The White House can't resolve it. The Congress cannot resolve it. Social leaders cannot resolve it. These problems cannot be resolved. But Jesus Christ can, and the old-time religion. The Bible. I can hear. I think sometimes we as Christians, we kind of get distracted. I think sometimes we as Christians, we kind of become deafened, if you will, to the cries of America. I think if we shut off our TVs and our radios and our and all the other things that could distract us once in a while, I think if you just listened, you could hear a lost world crying out, who'll come for me? Who come after me? I want you to picture with me just for a few minutes that unreached bus kid crying out, who'll come for me? Who'll go for Jesus Christ? Who'll cry out and say, here am I? Here am I? Who'll go after that bus kid crying out, who'll captain me? Who'll be a worker on my bus? Who'll drive my bus? Who'll teach me to live right? Who'll go ahead and be in a Sunday school room when I come to church on Sunday morning? I think if you shut off all the noise and shut off all the distraction, I think sometimes even we as good Bible-believing Baptist Christians, we get so intertwined with the things of this world that we forget that there's a lost and dying world, they're dying going to hell, and we're so distracted from their cries. I wonder if you could listen with me just for a bit. maybe a lost neighbor crying out. I'm talking about that neighbor that's across the street. I'm talking about that neighbor that's maybe just right next door. Maybe there's just a little fence or something just dividing you. But that neighbor, believe it or not, has been watching you. They see you Sunday morning, get your family ready, and they go ahead and they see your Bibles all in hand. And they you all pile into the car on Sunday morning. And I wonder, we get so enwrapped in what we are doing. But all along, that very neighbor that's right next door, he doesn't understand why you're doing what you're doing. But he may understand if we went and told him. They see you get up Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, and maybe they're there scratching their head. Why do they do that? But all along, they watch it. And perhaps your neighbor tonight is crying out, who'll come tell me? Who'll come for me? I, for the past 8 years, 9 years, 8 years, I think it is, just to give a quick personal example, have a neighbor. I mean, you know, we're in broad view of everything we do. You know what? I mean, they see it. They do. That's the way it is. And I know, and it doesn't bother me one bit. It doesn't bother me at all. But I know if I'm out mowing my lawn, they're watching me. They do. They have a little window. I know they do. You don't feel like you've ever been watched. You know, just whatever. And I know they're watching me. You know, and in so doing, in the course of a year, you know, we were able to as a family, because they saw me as a pastor, obviously, but went to church. That's where we live, basically. We live at home, but we also live at church. That's just our life. But through the course of events and different things, we've been able to win our neighbors for Christ, and now they come to our church. But what I'm trying to say is, do you have a neighbor like that? Maybe we're so distracted, but we just kind of ignore the fact, hey, you wave howdy. Hey, good to see you, but maybe there's more that we could tell them. Maybe they're too scared to ask you, why do you do all that? But maybe you ought to say, hey, listen, you know, why don't you come to church with us? We're having friend day on Sunday. Would you come? You know, it could change your life. And maybe you could hear, if you just listen, their voice crying out, who will come tell me the precious news of Jesus? Who about that co-worker that you work beside? Talk about the one that, you know, perhaps you punch in at the same time and you just kind of are together. I know some jobs are that you're just kind of around. Maybe in a way he's scratching his head and he's wondering, wow, there's a difference about you. Have you told him the difference? How about that lost teenager? Teenagers, today there's so much out there to veer them away from right. But who will go reach them? There's so much being pumped in the minds of our kids today that it's no wonder that they turn out sometimes the way they do. That's why it's so important that we as leaders, we stay faithful and true to the church and to the Word of God so that we could reach them. And so that them young people, them teenagers, them bus kids can go ahead and have the kind of life that you have. Why? Because of your example. Who will go for that unreached bus kid? Who will reach out to that lost neighbor? Who will reach out to that co-worker? Who will go after that lost teenager on your bus route? How about that relative? They know you're saved. See, Christmas time's here, and no doubt there'll be family get-togethers. And if you're like me at all, I'm sure they'll scratch their head at you, and I oftentimes have this. You do this? A couple years ago, Christmas was on Sunday. I couldn't make it to all the parties. Okay, I just couldn't. I showed up for just a few minutes. Then we had church Sunday morning. We had church Sunday night. That's the way it was. Bottom line. Okay, that's just what we do. Okay? And you know, I had relatives. They said, I don't understand that. You know, it's a holiday. Well, you know, I can celebrate Christmas right here with our church family as well. Why don't you come? You know, just come to church with us. How about that relative? Maybe that relative, they're crying out. Maybe instead of them kind of being criticizing you, maybe they're kind of waiting for you to say, hey, why don't you come to church? Hey, you know what? Here's a gospel track. Take time and read it. How about reaching out? Maybe they're crying out tonight, who will come after me? I think if we just listen just for a bit, America's crying out. We ought to be weeping for America, really. We live in the freest land of all. We have the privilege of doing what we're doing right now. There are some countries we'd have to be underground doing what we're doing right now. I know missionaries that do that. But here we are, we're in the land of plenty. Here we are, we have the religious freedom for now. We have, we're literally catered to. We have everything we ever wanted and more. But the truth of the matter, if you listen tonight, America's crying out. Who will come after me? Who will reach me? I ask this question, what can I do to change America? Number one, prayer. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then and only then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The Bible also says in Matthew 21:22, in all things, that's everything, not just some things, not a few things, but in all things, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Do you believe America can be saved tonight? Do you believe revival can happen in America tonight? I believe it can. If God's people would turn from their distractions and shut off the radio and shut off Hollywood for just a little while and get on their face and pray and seek God and say, oh God, please sweep a revival across America. Please save my relative. Please save my neighbor. Please save my co-worker. Oh God, use me to help teach people, the lost people of this day about you. Hey, that's what it's going to take. Prayer. When was the last time on your prayer list? Where is America on your prayer list? We ought to be praying for America. We ought to be praying for our nation. We ought to be praying for our president, in the cabinet. We ought to be praying. They're right on my prayer list. They ought to be on yours. We ought to be praying for revival in America. That's what it's going to take. What can you do to change America? It's going to take prayer. It's going to take prayer. Number two, what will it take to change America? It's going to take a submissive heart to God's will. Verse number, chapter 6, verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. At this time, you know what? He submitted. He submitted, okay, God. And as we read later on in verse 8, after a few more words here, God tells some things here, and then in verse number 8, he says, here am I. A submissive heart. What is it going to go ahead and take to help America? The same here, it's going to take us submitting to the will of God in our life. I mean, I'm talking about every day. You know, it would be very easy, it's so easy to go ahead and veer off the things of it. You know what God's will is? God's will, of course, is salvation. God's will, of course, is baptism. God's will then is to get in a good local Bible-believing Baptist church. God's will, every single week. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches about the church. But we are not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. When the doors are wide open for church, we ought to be there. The greatest place you can raise your family is in church. The greatest place that you can, the greatest heroes that you can give your kids is the preacher and the godly men and ladies of the church. Hey, them are some good heroes. They don't need the Michael Jordans of this world. They don't need the other movie stars of this world. But you know what? You want to give your child a hero. Hey, tell them about some great men of God in the past: Dwight Moody, and Jack Hiles, and a Tory, and Lee Robertson. Hey, you tell them. Hey, they're the ones that helped change America. not Michael Jordan, not a Paul Pierce, not a Patriots player. Hey, not all that. And you say, you against all that? No, I'm not against what they do. If that's what they do, fine. But the truth of the matter, what's going to save America is prayer and a submissive heart to the will of God. Here am I. Send me. It's going to take a cleansed life. Number three. Chapter 6, verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. You know, purge is cleansed. I take a cleansed life. Every day in prayer, we have to say, Lord, forgive me. We're wrapped in flesh. Have a tendency to say things. Look at that. You know, that's the way it is. The truth of the matter, every single one of us, we ought to say, Lord, help me. Clean up my act. You want to be used of God, we need to every day just go ahead and die to self daily. The Paul said, I die daily. Every single day, we need to go ahead and shoot our flesh, so to speak. Say, okay, God, you take control. What's it going to take to help change America? It's going to take prayer. It's going to take a submissive heart. It's going to take a cleansed life. And then just simply, after all that, answer the call. You say, well, preacher, are you trying to get a call for pastors? No. I'm going to call for laborers. The scripture says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, I wonder where Faith Baptist Church could be in a year from now if we had just a bunch of people who just prayed and submitted their heart to the will of God, cleaned up their act, said, okay, God, here am I. Here am I. You could maybe start another bus route because more workers will be flooding in. You could maybe divide some more Sunday school classes. You could maybe see more souls saved. You can maybe stir the baptism waters on a regular basis. You can maybe have revival right here in your church. If we would just take it and say, okay, God, here am I. Here am I. Who will teach that class? Here am I. Who will be a worker in a Sunday school? Here am I. Maybe it's just a vacuum of carpets. Here am I. That's all I can do, though. It's just that. Okay, that's fine. Here am I. Maybe it's just being a prayer warrior in the church and praying for the pastor and the leadership of the... Here am I. But that's all I can... Yeah, that's fine. If all you can do is that, if all you can do is sweep a carpet, if all you can do is maybe scrub a toilet, if that's all you can do for the church, hey, here am I. We need them. If it can be drive a bus and get on that bus and drive, here am I, God. Here am I. I want to help change America. I want to help change this area for Christ. I want to do my part. Here am I, God. Here am I. Here am I. The song, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me. Who will be faithful to the call of God? I'm talking about right here. Who will go ahead and say, Lord, hey, I can drive a bus. I can work on a bus. I can be a bus captain. I can be out soul winning on Thursday or Saturdays. I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. Who could do that tonight? Who will go for them? Can you hear it? If you listen, the cry of the lost, who will tell me? Who will tell me? You say you've got the joy in your heart because you're saved. Why don't you tell me? I wonder how many people, because of our lack of obedience, it includes all of us, including myself, when we face a judgment seat, people that we've had opportunities in this life, I wonder how many people will be ready to be cast into hell. Say, hey, you never told me, Pastor Weeks. You never told me. You drove that bus right down the street, but you never stopped there. You never told me. You never told me. I don't want to go to that fire, but you never told me. That neighbor that you've known for so many years.
stand in line in heaven.
I went by and I saw you go to church, but you never came and told me. You never came and told me.
What I'm trying to say tonight. Who will go for us? God's calling. God's calling for some folks tonight to say, hey, you know, I'll step up to the plate. If it's just to go get a vacuum and vacuum the carpets, great. If it's to go ahead and teach a Sunday school class, great. If it's to go ahead and do who knows what, great. Shovel the sidewalk when the snow comes, whatever. But who will go for us? I've been on a bus route primarily. I started this bus route in March of 2001. And within 2 months of me being there, I started out with just a seven passenger van. Had a burden for this area ever since I joined the staff called Livermore Falls Bus. We call it that. And I had a burden for this area. You know, it's kind of our furthest bus route, but we're very needy. And I still wanted to go up there, and I remember several times, especially the first couple years before we got an actual vehicle up there, I'd just drive up through and say, Lord, man, I want to come up here. But just, you have to have money, because we've got to have a lot of different things to make that happen. I want to come up here. I kept on telling the preacher, man, preacher, I want to start that route. I want to go up to Livermore. I want to start it, man. And, you know, we just had to do it in the right time. Finally, March of 2001, we were able to start it. Me, with my van. The first Sunday, I had 9 and a 7 passenger. The second Sunday, I doubled that, so I had the next closest bus route meet me at a motel parking lot. And I go ahead and meet them, and I go back for the other, you know, which is what we had to do. And Preacher Curse got up behind the pulpit and said, well, Pastor Weeks went ahead and did it again. He's given us reason to buy a bus. Now, what I'm trying to say here, is ever since day one, within about 3 or 4 weeks of door knocking, I came across a Ricky, a Brianna. At that time, they just had a baby sister, newly born sister, Mariah. Came across, I knocked on their door, said, hey, man, we're going to do this on the bus. Hey, won't you ride the Sunday school bus? And this was what time? Signed them up. And to this day, Ricky, Brianna, and little Mariah, because now she's old enough to ride the bus, 6 years later, they're still faithful to church. You know, when I look at their little faces, who will come for me? But you know now, as I see them grow in the Lord, literally, and this is one of many, 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 and you've got your stories too, I'm sure. Got one right back here tonight, bus rider. It's awesome to see. But I think maybe in heaven, maybe a Ricky and Brianna, maybe, as their bus captain. I don't know, but I think I might be able to hear them say, Brother Sean, I'm glad you came for me. I'm glad you came. Can you hear the Savior calling? Boy, he wants to do some great things. But can you hear him? Can you hear the lost America crying out tonight? Can you hear the loss of this area crying out? And you say, well, Brother Sean, I don't know how. I have no clue. I mean, I don't think I've got the boldness to go ahead and go to a door and knock on the door. I know that. Maybe you don't. But could you be a silent partner? Could you start somewhere? Could you just be faithful to some place in the church? Boy, that's big right there. Boy, that's big. God says, to Isaiah also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom will I send? will go for us. And Isaiah, after a while, found his purpose. Hear my.
God, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips.
Yep, they hear my.
God, you know, I'm not much.
Yeah, hear my. I was called to preach. So God, I think you got the wrong man. Literally. You know, the truth, and we all can say that, whatever capacity you're in. Wrong guy, I think. But you know what all God's looking for is just a submissive heart to his will and say, okay, hear my. I'll be available. You know, line is very short when it comes to service. It's very short. The harvest is so plenteous tonight, folks. And the laborers are few. If it was that way back in the Bible times, it's how much more it is today. Here, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we truly love you. We thank you for tonight. I believe you met with us. Very simple, simple message from one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Now, God, I pray, God, that you would touch these dear people's hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. I pray, God, that every heart here would, one way or the other, just open their heart and you do what you need to do in their life. I pray they'd be willing to do that. They had bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around. Maybe you hear tonight, you say, Pastor Weeks, God spoke to my heart some way, somehow. I will not embarrass you. But I'm just wondering, you know, God spoke to my heart. Would you just raise your hand? That's me. God spoke to my heart tonight. I want to do my part. I want to open my heart's door to whatever God has, whatever it may be. That's me. Would you please, right there, several hands. With our head bowed and eyes closed, the music is going to start. Why don't we stand to our feet? The music will start. Our head bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe that's you. Hear me. Hear me. And I can do something. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it may be, whatever it is, it's great in the sight of God. And maybe you're here tonight. You just need to kind of seal some decision that's between you and God. And let me just say this tonight. Maybe you're here tonight also. You're not for sure you're saved. Maybe you are one of them lost, but you just so happened to find Faith Baptist Church tonight. We thank God you did. And I plead with you, don't you leave these doors without knowing Christ as your personal Savior. We don't know whether we have it tomorrow. But maybe you're here tonight saying, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. But I'm going to indicate by shaking your hand when I come forward tonight that I need Christ. If you're like that tonight, please do that. I'll be more than glad to shake your hand, and someone, myself or whoever, be more than glad to show you from the Bible how to be saved. But if God's speaking to you tonight, why don't you come and seal that decision as the music plays?